This is Carl the Jackal Frampton.
Hi, this is David Healy.
Hello, this is Stephen Ferris.
Hi, I'm Bethany Ferris.
Hi, this is Joey Barton.
I'm Jonas Gutierrez.
Hi, this is Harry Kuehl.
And you're listening to The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark. I'm a man.
Welcome along to The Score with me, Michael Clark. And it is the 1st of December, and we're in a giving spirit on today's programme. We are giving away those two Football Manager games. And who will be the winners? Stick around, we're going to announce that in just a minute's time. We've another competition to announce slightly later on the programme. And we have three guests from the Premiership looking ahead to the Big Two Derby tonight from Glentoran. James Singleton will be on the show. Larne will be very interested to see how that goes. They have a chance to go top on Saturday, depending on how results pan out. From Larne, it will be Leroy Miller that joins us. And life at Loch All going well for their longest-serving player. Andy Hoy recently reached 200 games for the Villagers, and he's been in great form. He joins us later on the programme. It's all coming up right here on The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Yes, I said it. It's true. It's the 1st of December. We have officially made it into the festive period. Are you feeling festive? Well, maybe how we're starting this week's show will help you get into fine fettle. We have the not-so-small matter of the competition that we kicked off our programme with last week. Yes, we have been giving you the chance to win Football Manager 2024. Oh, the tense music has kicked in. And lots of you have been able to correctly answer the question that we posed, which was, who won the Golden Boot last season as part of the NI Football Awards? There were two winners, it was shared. The correct answer was Matthew Shevlin and Ronan Hale. Now, of everyone that gave the right answer, we had to choose two winners, and the winners are Alan Robinson and Connor McCann. So congratulations to both of you. We will be in touch to make sure you get your prizes, but well done, Alan Robinson and Connor McCann. Thank you very much, both of you, for listening to the programme, and well done for getting the right answer. That prize is on its way to you very soon. Just in time for Christmas. Now you don't need to see any relatives. Wonderful. brilliant. Now, as I say, another competition coming up shortly on the programme, but not before we have a look at the matches taking place this weekend in the top flight. A big Friday night game. We're going to have a guest from Glentoran on in just a moment to talk about it, in the form of James Singleton. Glentoran are hosting Linfield at the Oval. Meanwhile, on Saturday, there are five matches taking place in the Premiership. At the Ballymena Showgrounds, Ballymena United against Larne, that's a derby fixture too, of course. Carrick Rangers are taking on Loughall. Loughall represented today by Andy Hoey on the show. He's coming up later on. Crusaders take on Newry City as they look for a response after their drubbing at the hands of their North Belfast rivals. It didn't seem to dampen the celebrations at their 125-year anniversary dinner, and I'm glad to hear that. And just as a little point of order, Crusaders fans, you'll be particularly interested in this competition we have coming up, okay? Just a little word to the wise there. This'll put you in good spirits. Dungannon Swifts, they entertain Cliftonville, and Glenavon are against Coleraine. That's such an important match. You feel, even at this stage in the season, who can seize the initiative at Mournview Park? They're the games ahead. And as I said, the big one happening later on tonight is at the Oval. That is Glentoran against Linfield. I'm going to be there on commentary. I cannot wait for it. And I hope our first guest is just as excited to be a part of that. I want to ask him about the game. And I want to ask him about reaching the County Antrim Shield final. as they were able to be comprehensive winners over Carrick Rangers earlier on in the week. Jim Singleton, great to have you back on the programme. How are you?
Not too bad, Michael. I'm doing very well. Hope you're keeping well yourself.
I'm doing brilliantly. All the better for talking to you, my friend. And look, before we get into this huge match, which is happening later on, I want to talk about the County Antrim Shield, because it's a cup final, and when your manager came in, he said, we need to get to cup finals. You've got to a cup final.
Yeah, it was the objective from when we started the competition. Morn made it clear when he came in that, you know, we need to start getting the cup finals. And, you know, people like to say about it's only the County Antrim Shield or whatever, but in the end of the day, you still have to win them games. And if you look at Lauren the last few seasons that they've won it, obviously, you know, they're in it to win it too. So yeah, it's good to get there, and good to get there with a convincing win.
Well, it certainly was. Thanks for rubbing the salt in my wounds. As a Carrick man, I was in the stands as a punter watching as you got a free header to tee up the first goal, and I was thinking, why are they not marking him? But you wouldn't be complaining.
No, not at all. It was a bit of an edgy start by both teams. I think it took a while for both of us to settle down. And I think the first goal helped us massively. And yeah, I just managed to get free in the box from the free kick and sort of nodded towards goal. And I think it was probably going in, and Shea managed to get a wee toe, or he managed to flick it in himself on the byline. So yeah, I'll let him have that one. But I was giving him a wee bit of stick at half time.
I bet you were. You've got a couple of goals this season already.
Yeah, that's it. I'm not too interested about scoring goals. I'd rather keep, you know, clean sheets at the other end. But it's always nice if you can chip in with a couple. So yeah, try and do my part that way.
Well, that goal got you started. In the second half, I actually thought after the restart, Carrick started to give you a bit of trouble. And then a mistake at the back, Junior pounces 2-0. And from practically the restart, they then have Curtis Forsyth sent off. And from there, against 10 men, I thought you're in complete control, and so the scoreline proved to be.
Yeah, we knew Carrick were going to give us, or, you know, give a reaction. Remember, they came out second half, and once we went 1-0 up at half time, you know, we went in and spoke, and the gaffer says, you know, what Carrick are going to do as soon as they come out here, they're going to throw everything at you. And so they did for the sort of first 10-15 minutes. Everything was long throws into the box, and they won a few corners in a row, and we just had to stand up and be strong, basically, because whenever you go down to Taylor's Avenue, there's a period of the game that Carrick are going to be on top, and you know, you just have to ride the wave and deal with balls in your box and balls over the top of you. And I thought we'd done that pretty well. But yeah, once Junior got the second from a mistake, sort of calmed the nerves, and then obviously the red card had a big impact as well. And I thought after that we were very comfortable
and clinical, and maybe that's a bit of a difference from previous matches where you were left ruin what could have been. In this game, when chances presented themselves, you took them.
Yeah, and that's probably been a bit of a problem this season. I felt I think this season there's only been one game that we've been played off the park, and that was probably the Cool Rain game that they beat us 2-1 at the Oval. But every other game, especially against the top six sides, I thought we'd been in the game for the 90 minutes. And when we look back and assess them matches, probably missed opportunities is what's killed us in them games, and the other teams that we've played have took their chances when they've came.
And so do you get confidence from reaching the final? You know, it's an objective met. I know you'll not rest on your laurels. You want to go and win the County Antrim Shield. But do you think it's given you a lift, or has the team needed one?
I think it has to give you a lift. In the end of the day, it's a cup competition, and you should take confidence from getting to a final. It's not easy to get to a final. You know, there's a lot of pressure on, and with getting knocked out of the League Cup, we knew we wanted to make sure we got to this final, and also try and progress as well as we can when the Irish Cup starts as well. So yeah, no, we'll have to take confidence from it, and yeah, just bring it into the next league game against Linfield, which again is going to be a massive match and a game that we need to, you know, perform well in if we're going to get anything, if we're going to go come away with a win.
And they are in the position, you know, where, you know, there's quite a gap between you two at the moment. It's not something that you'll be too pleased with, I'm sure. 15 points the difference, and they've played one game less as well. You know, how are you reflecting on the season so far? Just the 8 wins, 6 defeats in there.
Yeah, well, that's it. There's obviously a bit of a gap at the minute, but I remember last season, sort of around the October-November time, I don't know how many points were in it between us and Linfield, but I know we were a good bit ahead of them. And you know what? Things happen, and teams go on bad runs, and who knows what could happen. We could push on now and go and get as many points as we could possible, and with other teams picking up injuries and dropping results to you know, dropping points every now and again. You just never know what happens. So there's definitely no giving up, you know, on our part. And we'll give it all here against Linfield this game. And hopefully we can pick up a wee bit of form and start racking up points and try and get ourselves back into the end of the mix of things.
You've had a few of them now. What is this fixture like to be a part of?
Like, it's obviously great, you know. I've played against Linfield. It's, and the end of the day, you know, everything's hyped up a wee bit about the big two and stuff, but at the end of the day, you're playing for 3 points, so it doesn't really matter. You know, there's no leagues being won whenever you beat your local rivals. So yeah, you just have to approach it like every other game, and there'll obviously be a good atmosphere and it'll be a big crowd and stuff, but you know, once the whistle starts for the match, it's 11 men against 11, so you know, whoever performs better on the night normally comes away with a win.
And because it's Glentoran and Linfield, there's plenty written about both teams, there's plenty of speculation always. I'm curious, what is the feeling like amongst you and your teammates at the moment? You know, is it all perfect harmony?
No, definitely not. Whenever you're not winning every week, it's obviously not. And we've a great bunch of players in there, a great bunch of lads, and everybody lets their feelings be heard, you know, after games and in training, and we're constantly demanding more of each other, and we know that. We know we'll have to improve if we're going to get back into the swing of things. And you know what, I back every one of us as players, and I back all the coaching staff as well, that we can, you know, turn it around and get back into the mix.
It takes character, doesn't it, you know, when things aren't going well, to kind of find that the way out, I guess, and see the light at the end of the tunnel, because everything in football is, well, it always feels like life or death, and we know it isn't.
Yep, 100%, and I remember last year when we were, you know, 11 games unbeaten or whatever it was, and flying at the top of the league, that everything was great, and then you do go on a bit of a bad run and other teams, you know, close the gap and catch you. And you know what, we've done it before last season. Obviously we had a very strong end of the season, and if the season had went on maybe a few more weeks, or we had started that run a few games earlier, you know, God knows what could have happened by the end of the season. But that's what we're counting on. We're only at the start of December now, basically, so there's a lot of football to be played, and yeah, you just never know what could happen.
And you've more than a decent, well, I was going to say five-a-side team, maybe two five-a-side teams sitting in the stands wanting to get back fit and playing.
That's it. We've a lot of key players out injured at the minute, and obviously every team has their injuries, but Matt, you know, key players, the likes of, you know, your Reece Marshalls, your Bobby Burns, everyone's picking up with wee niggles, and Luke McCulloch was out for a long time, the captain Marcus Keane. So yeah, once we get all these players back and we've a full squad to choose from, you know, it makes things a wee bit easier.
And one of the newer faces in the team, looks like he's settling in well, is Fisher up front. A great goal he hit against Larnett, certainly one way to make everybody take notice.
Yeah, it was tough for Big Fisher to come in, like, to be fair to him, because he missed all pre-season, so it took him a bit of time to get up to speed. But I thought the last few games he's done really well. Obviously he scored a very good goal against Ballymena as well, and you know, kept his spot for the Larne game, and another great goal against Larne. So, and he played against Carrick the other night too in the 4-0 win. So yeah, it's good for him now that he's getting minutes on the pitch, and I'm sure whoever he's playing up top with, or whether he's up there on his own, you know, he'll be a good partner, and they'll do well for the team.
What's he like? How's he fitting in? I'm always curious to know what it's like for players. I know he's been there a while now. He's maybe had a dozen or so appearances, but it, as you say, he's just started to break in. What's he like in and around training? Is he loud, personality, shy guy?
No, he's a wee bit like Junior there. I think them two are living together at the moment. They're both mixed in very easily, very well. It didn't take them long to get involved at all. Two good characters, and yeah, they like the crack around the club, and yeah, they're two decent fellas and two good players as well.
Fantastic. So I mean, looking at the, you know, I guess the weeks and months ahead, what are your priorities here? County Antrim Shield final, Irish Cup, you know, league. What are you thinking about? What are you talking about as a team in terms of main objectives?
Yeah, I think you have to go as far as you can in every competition, and we've reached the County Antrim Shield final, so obviously the aim for that will be to go on to try and win that, and the aim has to be to try and go as far as we can, or even try and win the Irish Cup as well, because at the end of the day, it's an access through to Europe, and every team, you know, takes the Irish Cup very, very seriously, and it'll not be easy, but we have to back ourselves and make sure we give 100% in the Irish Cup. But there's no giving up in the league either, you know. We know that there's European spots to be got in there as well. And there's also the European playoff spot. That's not something we want to play for, though. You know, we want to try and push up for the automatic places, and you know we'll be continuing to give it 100% in the league as well.
And you know, and talking about you know the league being unrelenting in the fashion that it is, you know, after you play Linfield at home, then next it's Clifton Villa away, and they have been one of the impressive sides in this season. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, definitely. And to be honest with you, there wasn't a whole lot of people talking about Cliftonville at the start of the season. I remember chatting to a few of my friends that follow the Irish League, and they were more or less writing Cliftonville off. And I remember saying that you know, there's too much quality in that team to be written off. And I know Jim, obviously, as well, who I played under at under 21 level in Northern Ireland, and he's a good coach, and he's got Cliftonville playing really, really nice stuff. And yeah, they're a great force in the league at the minute, and no doubt going to Solitude in a couple of weeks' time will be another really tough game.
Looking at the league at the moment, it does just show you how close things are. You look at the run your old team, Glenavon, have gone on under Stephen McDonnell. All of a sudden they're flying, they're knocking on the door of the top half, and they've back-to-back games against Corrine, one in the league and one in the cup. But Glenavon are a great example of have a good month and everyone feels very different about the thing.
Yeah, 100%. I was gutted to see Glenavon sort of down at the bottom of the league when they were there for a wee while, and obviously gutted to see my old manager Gary Hamilton leaving the club as well. But it's great to see them doing well at the minute, and the new manager seems to be you know getting his ideas across quickly, and they've a good squad of players there. And sometimes when you're just losing every week, you know, it's hard to get that confidence to get a result. But once you maybe string two or three wins together, it can make a you know a world of difference, and it's good to see them pushing up the league now as well.
Because you look at it, you're 3 points behind Crusaders, you're 3 points ahead of Corrine, you're actually now 6 points only ahead of Glenavon. That could be taken as an optimistic or a pessimistic thing, whatever way you want to read it. That shows you the problem with numbers, but it is just such a quickly changing picture in this Premiership.
Yeah, and that's why we're not getting caught up too much about ourselves, because you look at Glenavon, they win five games in a row, and they jump from you know bottom of the league till you know up to close to where us and Coleraine are. So, you know, what's to say you know if ourselves or any other team go and win four or five games in a row as well, that you can't jump three or four league places yourself. So that just shows you that you know you can't get caught up too much in who's last and who's top of the league in October, November, December time. You know, it's all about the final remaining months, and yeah, if you can manage to get a wee run together, it can make a massive difference.
And tell me this, as a you know as a full-time footballer, is the Christmas period easier now, you know, compared to what it would have been like at Glenavon?
I don't know, to be honest with you. Probably I'm feeling a wee bit easier this year. I remember last year my first season at Glentoran, it took me a few months for my body to adjust, you know, to the training every day, going from maybe two nights a week playing on a Saturday, they'll put training every day. You're picking up wee niggly injuries and stuff, but I'm definitely feeling the benefits this season, and I've played a lot of football this season, and I'm feeling fitter and stronger than what I did, you know, in previous seasons. So yeah, I think the full time football definitely helps in terms of your recovery and being able to, you know, rest at night times and sit with the feet up and get prepared for games and not maybe have to go out and work. Even though my job wasn't too taxing on the legs working in the school, but just to be able to, you know, prepare properly and eat properly before games is always a benefit.
I was thinking you can go home and like do your Christmas shopping online if you can't even get out to the shops, you know, whereas before you're doing a job, you're going to a match, you're going to training, and you're thinking, when do I have time to do, you know, my real life stuff?
Even simple things like trying to get your hair cut sometimes when you're working and then training at night time can be tough enough. So wee tiny things like that there is always nice, and being able to spend a bit of time with a wee man as well is a big plus, and one of the main reasons why I ended up going to play full time, to be honest.
And with all these games live now, I'm sure there's always a queue at the barbers and the build up to a match day.
Oh, always. Like I got my hair cut there, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, and I think there's about 10 boys today saying they were going after training. So yeah, some boys, it's a must to get it done the day of the game or the day before the game, whatever suits you best.
Well, there you go. I'll be probably looking like the Michelin man in as many coats as I can wear on my way to the Oval, because it's going to be a cold one. We know that. But James, thanks very much. Always great to talk to you. Thanks for coming on to The Score.
Thanks for having me on, Michael. Cheers.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Now, before we get into our second guest, of the show here on The Score. It's time to tell you about an amazing competition that we are able to bring you. We have teamed up with Boyle Sports. They are the principal sponsors of Crusaders Football Club, and we are giving you and a friend the chance to enjoy a VIP night out at Sea View for the Crusaders versus Larne game on Friday the 15th of December. The prize includes a pre-match meal, hospitality and grandstand seats for the clash of last season's Irish Cup winners against the Premiership champions, and all under the lights. And it's all thanks to Boyle Sports. So to be in with a chance of winning one of five pairs of VIP tickets, you can retweet and follow the competition on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. You can like and share it on Facebook, or you can email us, thescoreni@gmail.com. And we don't have a question for you to answer. We simply just want you to tell us who you'd bring along with you. So you can retweet and follow the competition on X for anyone on there. You can like and share on Facebook, or you can email us with your name and who you want to bring along with you. thescoreni@gmail.com is our email address. And this bit's important because terms and conditions do apply. You must be aged 18 or over to take part. So, brilliant competition brought to you in partnership with our friends at Boyle Sports to give you and somebody near and dear the chance to go and watch Crusaders versus Larne on Friday the 15th of December. VIP tickets including a pre-match meal, hospitality and grandstand seats for the clash. So if you want to win, just follow those simple instructions, head to our socials now or drop us an email with the details.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Best of luck. Now, this will also, of course, apply to Larne fans who might want to go to see that game. And we have, just by magic, someone from Larne on the show now. He'll be hoping to be very busy as he heads to the Ballymena Showgrounds with his Larne teammates to play. Will be Leroy Miller. Fingers and toes crossed this weekend that all our games go ahead and that the pitches are thawed out, if indeed there's any fear at all of that. But Leroy, Larne going great guns at the moment. You'll be, you know, hot on Linfield's heels, potentially with a chance to go back top of the table to start off the month of December. I'm sure that's the thoughts in your mind at the moment after a great start. Just keep going.
Yeah, that you said it there. It's just about keep going. So as obviously November, we knew at the start of November we were playing Linfield, and if Linfield potentially, if they beat us, it would have been 11 point gap. But we knew if we went to Windsor and beat them, it would have been cut down to 5. So thankfully we done that, and then obviously November we went on and took maximum points, and it's cut down to 2 now. So yeah, we'll just worry about ourselves and see what happens.
Isn't that incredible in many ways? Because I remember going into that game, and you're right, that's what everyone was saying. It was, if Linfield win, the title race is over, you can, you know, all bets are off, it's done and dusted. There was so much pressure on you, and you went behind in that match. Talk us through kind of the feeling of the team to be able to pull off the result.
Yeah, obviously we never mentioned that in the change room leading up to it, that game during the week, so we didn't. It was no one's mind, so it was. But I think as a player, obviously it was in the back of my mind, and I would say it was in a lot of players' minds, but we never really spoke about it. Obviously we were down 1-0 early doors from Joel Cooper scoring, but it showed the character in the team, and Mark Randall ended up scoring an absolute worldie. And then obviously Joe the Goal Thompson, as people are calling him at the minute, went and scored the winner. So yeah, we're in a good place at the minute. Momentum's building, and hopefully we can continue that.
Sometimes it just takes a moment of inspiration, doesn't it? And Mark Randall, you know, he has it in his locker, but it's been a while since he scored a goal, and then hey presto, top bins and game on.
Yeah, Mark Randall said that numerous times in many interviews. I would say he's probably the most technically gifted player in the league, and yeah, it's no surprise that he's went and scored a goal like that.
And Joe the Goal Thompson, now he's got this moniker. I know Cliftonville fans just love hearing anybody else called Joe the Goal, brackets not really, but he's on a rich vein of form. What's gotten into him?
Well, Joe obviously was out of the team at the start of the year, so he was, and he was working really hard and putting in a lot of extras, and a lot of people don't see that, but he's been staying out after training and working on his finishing and that, and since he's came in, he's set the ground running. It's one goal, it's kept leading day 2, and his confidence has been high, so Yeah, I don't think he likes boys calling him Joe the Goal, but it's sticking with him at the minute.
Well, I'm sure he'll be happy enough if that form keeps going. Andy Ryan's probably looking over his shoulder going, here, I thought I'd worry about Lee and Paul, not some of the midfielders now coming after this top scorer at the club challenge. Which, because I had Andy on recently and he was saying, oh no, there's no competition amongst us, we're all mates, but like, surely there is.
I would say it's obviously being a striker you need to be greedy, but we're blessed to have, obviously you've got Paul, Chuck A, and then you've got Lee as well, and they're all fantastic strikers and they all possess something else, and here it's great options to have. Obviously Paul and Lee are out of the team at the minute and Andy's the one doing the business, so yeah, they're fantastic players, and here, as long as we're scoring goals, we don't really care who gets them.
And when you compare where you are now to where you were, you know, a short period of time ago, has your feeling changed? Because there was naturally pressure being champions, having to defend a title rather than chase a title, and the early draws at the start of the season were definitely something people were talking about. I'm sure there were something that was frustrating you.
Yeah, it probably was, because the goals we were conceding was unlike us. So it was last year, I think the platform was not conceding a lot of goals. And as I said, that set the platform for the boys to go on and do what they have to do and score a lot of goals for us. So yeah, it was frustrating, but we knew ourselves that it wasn't good enough at the start of the year. And November's been a fantastic month for us. And as I said, November means nothing unless we take it any December and do exactly the same.
And how are you feeling with your football? You've been popping up with a few goals yourself.
Yeah, it's been frustrating start of the season for me. Obviously, I was out the back end of Europe there with a hamstring injury. And then just as it got cleared up, I ended up breaking my hand in training. So it didn't put me out a further 3 weeks. So I've been back now and I've played the last six games and feeling fit now and strong. And hopefully the goals will keep on coming.
And it does look like you've just kind of clicked back into yourself again, because you know, when it's disjointed like that, when you've got an injury, you come back, you have another one, you have to come out again. It is so hard to just play the football you want to play. But you know, in recent weeks, I think we've seen, you know, what got you all those awards last season, Leroy.
Yeah, well, I'll always say this, it's the team makes my job a whole lot easier, so it does. The players in behind me, obviously you've got Mark and Hasiel playing in there now, and they're two ball players, and Hasiel's obviously come in and he's done unbelievable since he's been there for a couple of years, and it's hard to believe he's only 18-19 years of age. The pressure and that, he just gets the ball under pressure and just moves it on. He's a fantastic player.
Probably the biggest compliment to him is that Larne fans haven't missed Food Sule as much as they thought they would, and I'm not saying that in any disrespect to Food Sule, because he's a fantastic player and I'm a big fan of his. But for, you know, for Larne, he was pivotal, and yet this season, you know, you've a young lad that's come in and somehow just managed to plug that gap.
Yeah, obviously Fudd's last year, he's done an unbelievable job for us, so he did, and I thought he suited our system to a T last year, and here he got his rewards in that at the end, so he had to get a league title to go with it. But unfortunately, that's football, and Fudd's decided to move on, and Hasiel came in and got the opportunity, and he's grabbed it with the scruff of the neck, and he's done well.
There's been a lot of, you know, talk about them, and we've seen sort of features about how the Americans are getting on, but it does just seem at the minute that, you know, Larne have this cohesion. Anybody comes in, it's everybody knows their place, and it seems a really good environment for players to step into.
Yeah, I think credit has to go there to the recruitment team and the staff, and obviously Gaffer and Seamus and Gary Haveron, because you can go out and look for good players, but you have to be looking for good people as well. And the culture they've created and around the club is, it's a very good place to be at, and team camaraderie, it's good. And obviously everyone likes to have a laugh in that, but there is a serious switch there when work has to be done. We've got our heads down and do it.
And talking about getting your head down and doing it, Ballymena United up next, an away trip. You know, I don't think you'll need the sat nav on for that one, Leroy. I'm sure they won't make you travel to Inverpart to travel to that. That's a fairly handy jaunt. You know, what's your thoughts coming into this? Because Ballymena have obviously been struggling this season.
Yeah, obviously Ballymena, they have been struggling this year, but it's like any game in this league, nothing's given to you in a plate, so it's not, and we'll need to roll our sleeves up. We know it'll not be a nice pretty game, and as I says, we'll roll our sleeves up and give it our all, and hopefully we can get a positive result.
And these are the games that, you know, people can sometimes talk about being the dreaded banana peel. People up their game to play Larne. Have you felt that this season that, you know, as the champions, you know, you have that extra target on your back?
Yeah, 100%. This year, doesn't matter who you're playing, so it does. You've got that big target on your back, and it's one that we want to honour back, obviously, being champions and that, but it's up to us to deal with that kind of pressure, if that's what you call it, and just go on and do what we do. And we know 9 times out of 10, if we do our job right and are at it, we should be picking up the points.
And, you know, we're looking through the fixtures. You've the small matter of Linfield on Tuesday, and you've also got a league game next Friday. There really is no rest at the moment.
Yeah, that's 3 games in 6 days, but here, that's not an excuse and nothing. We'll worry about Ballymena on Saturday. Here's the way walling in. We'll get our bodies back in, we'll recover, and we'll get ready for Linfield on Tuesday night.
Linfield have an extra day's rest. Are we going to hear managers talking about this before the game on Tuesday?
No, I don't think so. It's not really something players kind of discuss or nothing. All you can do is do your recovery and go on with it, and that's what we'll be doing.
Well, I'm sure Linfield will be saying, we don't have an extra day's rest from the previous game because we're having to play a day early, just before I get a text message from nobody in particular in mind when I say that sentence. But, you know, the league at the moment is just such a fascinating thing. It was last season too. And, you know, to give proper order to the teams just behind you, you know, I'm talking about Larne nipping at Linfield's heels. You must be feeling it from Cliftonville. That was an impressive result they got against Crusaders.
Yeah, Cliftonville, another fantastic side, and they like to play football, and that was some result. It was 3-0 against Crusaders last week, and yeah, all we can do, as I said, is keep worrying about ourselves and not look around us, and hopefully just show up at the table.
I was asking James Singleton this question, and I'm interested in your thoughts on it as well. Just the transition into being a full-time footballer, obviously now this is your second season at Larne, and when you've got this incredibly hectic schedule, it must just feel nice knowing that, you know, you're a full-time footballer and you can manage this compared to what it would have felt like before.
Yeah, 100%. Obviously the part-time teams are coming in from a job and then they're getting something to eat in them, and the way they go to their game and that, we've got probably more time to relax and prepare. But then the day, it's an extra incentive for the part-time teams to go out and try and prove the full-time teams wrong. So, yeah, people can say it's an advantage, a disadvantage. So whatever way you look at it, I don't really look into that too much and just go out and play the game.
And the Linfield game is a big game. It's an opportunity to advance in a cup competition. You're waiting to find out what's going on with the County Antrim Shield as well. When you start to step back and look at the big picture, there's so much to play for at the moment, and I'm sure you're confident of being able to challenge on all fronts.
Yeah, it's something we talked about at the start of the year. The League Cup hasn't been last year, obviously we got put out last year, be honest, so we did, and it hasn't been kind to us in recent years. So yeah, we want to compete and try and challenge for every piece of silverware this year. That's not being big headed, it's just the resources and that we have at Larne, it's what we should be doing. So yeah.
And you come off the back of that game, and I say about the run of games, because there's 3 matches being played next Friday. Your game is against Glenavon, who are one of the, if not the, form team of the month, you know, along with yourselves.
Yeah, I think Glenavon, they've won 5 league games in the bounce now, so they have. So, as I said, it's another tough game, just like Ballymena will be here on Saturday. We need to prepare. Obviously, we've got Ballymena on Saturday, Linfield on Tuesday, and then the Glenavon game. Obviously, this is where you've got the squad depth, and we'll probably have to use it, and boys will be getting their chances, and it's up to them to take them then.
You look through the results, you know, plenty of wins there. It's been a while since you've slipped up in a match. You know, is it just a case of the team has clicked and got into the rhythm? You know, it's funny sometimes how football can work out, where, you know, you look back a while ago and after the Loch Awe defeat, people were nearly writing Larne's obituary, and it all seems rather foolish now.
Yeah, as I said, probably about 6 weeks ago, you're looking at it and people starting to talk and saying Linfield's running away with it, but we've talked about that, and we've had a good November, as it says, and Gaffer keeps saying that November means absolutely nothing if we don't go and bag it up in December, and who knows, with a good Christmas period, you never know what way things will look in the new year.
And talk to me about this, you know, side that you've got this season. Do you think the squad is as capable, or how does it compare to last season? Because I'm aware there's obviously some new faces.
Yeah, this year I honestly do believe the squad depth we have is it's unbelievable. So as we're playing 11v11 there in games, and the intensity of the games is absolutely madness, and then the quality. You've got Scotty Allen, he's not getting a kick at the minute, and he's absolutely quality in training. But I think that's good for the ones that are in at the minute, because they know if they're not doing it, you've got them types of boys. You've got Paul O'Neill, Lee Bonus, all them boys coming in, and you know fine rightly if them boys get in, they'll take their chance.
Who is sort of the top trainer? I'm not saying necessarily teacher's pet, but who's the guy in training you think, my goodness, he fairly puts a shift in?
See, to be honest, I think most of the boys put the shift in. Obviously, it doesn't work some days for boys, and a lot of boys would let you know if you're having a tough day in training. They would definitely let you know. But hard working wise, everyone's out there training, so they are. But there's obviously a few out there that keeps doing extras and that after training. You've got Wee Hasse and Elijah. You've got the two Americans. They're always out doing extras, so they are. Joe Thompson's out training. You've got Paul O'Neill doing extra shooting. See, to be honest, when boys feel like they need it, they'll be out doing extras.
And they have the facilities to go and do it, so why not? I think that's very encouraging for Larne fans to hear. Is there anybody who takes training too seriously? Because like those 11v11 games are, they aren't really the most important things in the world, but are there players that will, treat that like it's a real game?
You've got Joe Thompson here, and he's always shouting no matter what. You can hear Joe before you see him, so you can. But as I says, he trains the way he plays, and he's getting his rewards at the minute. So he has with all the goals that he's getting, and long may it continue for us.
Yeah, and that intensity, it's usually a good thing unless you're on the end of one of those tackles.
Well, you'd rather be giving them than on the end of them, to be honest. But we'll say no more about that.
And the festive period, as a footballer, you don't get to really completely soak in Christmas because there's so much football to be played. I'm just wondering, what your thoughts are around this time of year and the way things are. I mean, you've got your New Year's Day. I don't know if that's a small mercy.
Yeah, obviously it's a very busy schedule in around Christmas, but it's one that can make or break your season, because if you're going on a bad run and you've got games, I think it's every 2 or 3 days you've got a game, and if you've got a bad run and it keeps going and going, you could look at it and you get 3 or 4 games losses in the bounce, and then it swings the other way. If you're on a good run, you want the games to keep on coming, and here, if you're winning 3 or 4 games in the bounce and teams are dropping points in around you, obviously it's going to be good for you.
I'm just trying to work out when you have your big proper cheat meal, because you're looking, you're going, my goodness, it's game after game. And you even think about, you've got a Boxing Day game, and then a few days after that, it's another match against Linfield. So when do you let the hair down?
Don't actually know, to be honest. Well, maybe have an extra Brussels sprout at training, calling them, maybe the chef will put it on for us. We'll enjoy that.
And I'll tell you, well looked after. The Academy of Sports, which I had the privilege of visiting at the end of the season, where you had your Gibson Cup sitting proudly, seeing that facility and going in and kind of getting a feel for what it's like for you guys, and seeing the young lads there, and they've got their games area, they've got the gym, they've got the classroom, where obviously there's lots of people studying as well. Do you, and I don't mean this to be cheesy, so the answer can be no, but do you sort of pinch yourself that this is happening in the league here, that these structures, because more clubs are trying to do it, and outside of I guess the obvious clubs, the likes of Dungannon and Swifts, and what they do with their academy is amazing. I just find it so encouraging that this is actually on our doorstep, and that if you don't go across the water, actually you can do it here.
Yes, obviously when I broke through at Ballymena when I was younger, I thought I'd never even crossed my mind full-time football in this league, and obviously now all but Larne, the facilities and the setup that they have, it's a real good model, and the young ones coming through now have such a chance and of going on and even bettering themselves. And as you say, as if they don't, they've always got here to play, but the young ones nowadays, the facilities and that, and how they can progress and kick on, it's unbelievable.
I just wonder how some of the older players in the league are thinking. You must naturally go, Oh, if I was 10 years younger, I'd love to have had this.
I'm exactly the same. Obviously, I'm 28 now. If you were 10 years younger and you're only breaking on the scene now, it's a great opportunity for you. And here, it's up to the young lads if they're willing to put the work in and they've got the talent to go with it. Here, who knows what can happen?
And just lastly, I saw that Larne have announced their annual Christmas carol service is going to return. I don't know if any of the players are going to fancy joining in on any of the singing. You know, there'd be a few chanters in there, I would have thought.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say Tomás and the likes of Paul O'Neill and all them boys will be chirping at the bit to do a wee bit of singing. So yeah, them boys will put their name forward if the chance comes up.
I just can't imagine that being a serious answer, to be totally honest. Oh dear, the idea of Tomás Cosgrove leading a sing-song. Well, maybe for another day. If he wants to prove me wrong and launch a Christmas number one on the score, we'll open the space up and the floor for him to do that. But look, Leroy, great catching up with you. Well done in the form that you've been in. And well, for any neutrals out there, you've made this title race really interesting again, where they thought it was going to be heading back the way of Linfield. It still might, but it's got very interesting in the last month or so. So let's see where it goes. But for now, Leroy, thanks very much for coming on to The Score.
Thanks very much for having me, Michael.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Now let's have a chat about the Villagers, shall we? And Loughall, they're many people's favourite team after their own team, and of course they have their own band of loyal supporters as well. They've been doing pretty well in the Premiership, and to join us now to chat about them on the show is their longest serving current member of the club, that is of course Andy Hoey. Andy, how are you?
Hi Michael, all good with me. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And yeah, I had to look it up. Longest serving member of Loughall, Dean Smith's first signing way back in 2017.
Yeah, it's a bit surreal looking back now, how far we've came together. And looking back now, we were actually a bottom six championship club, and looking now, still working together in the Premiership. It's a bit hard to believe. It's been a roller coaster of a journey, but there's been ups and downs, obviously, yeah. But I've enjoyed every minute of working under Dean, and I've enjoyed being at the club, and it's just a real family feel club. And honestly, couldn't feel more proud to be their longest serving player and to represent the club on the biggest stage in this country and in the Irish League.
When you were joining, I'm sure that wasn't on the table, was it? They weren't saying, look, within this period of time, we're going to be in the Premiership, we're going to be doing X, Y, and Z, or was it?
No, obviously when I signed, there was short-term goals, not quite as big as making the Premiership, but obviously in Dean's mind, I would say that was the long-term goal. But first of all, he just wanted me to come in and try to make the team better. As I said, we were a bottom six championship club, and he was just trying to sign players that would make the team better than what he came to Loughall that he had. And thankfully, I was one of those. And look, it's been brilliant to be a part of the journey. And look, in my opinion, the journey's only starting, and hopefully we can maintain Loughall as a Premiership club, and that's obviously the aim for this season.
And you yourself have been an Irish League player for quite some time now. You came to prominence as a teenager, so it feels like you've been playing forever, but yet you're nowhere near 30, just in case anybody's putting years on you.
Yeah, I still feel like I'm 18, but no, I'm definitely not an old. You wouldn't call me old in football nowadays, especially with players playing to 40, etc. But yeah, I honestly feel like I've been about for ages. And when I first came onto the scene at Glenavon as a youngster, coming through the youth academy and into the first team under Gary Hamilton, it was amazing. And honestly, it was everything like I could ask for. And I enjoyed my time at Glenavon, and to break into the first team and score a few Irish League goals against Glentoran and Linfield, it was moments I'll never forget, but unfortunately it just didn't work out, and it was not like I was just sitting on the bench for too long of the next season after that when I broke through, and I just wanted to get out and play regular football, and I then went to Armagh City, which is my hometown club, and I went there for a year before I joined Loughall, and I loved it, I enjoyed it, got back to playing every week, scoring goals, and then Dean obviously got in contact with me and I signed for Loughall, and I've enjoyed it ever since. And going back then, I didn't think, after about a year or two, I always wanted to get back in the Irish League, but as the years went on, it just kept on getting further away and further away, and I didn't think I would ever get the opportunity to play in the Irish League again. But over the past few years, we've been so close with Loughall getting to the Premiership, I thought it was only a matter of time before we'd done it, and credit where credit's due, Dean's come in and done a brilliant job and got the club to where he wants them to be at, and honestly hope we can stay in the Premiership this year and just go from there.
Well, you're what, 26 now?
26, yes. I'll be 27 next year, yeah. So, still, hopefully going into my prime here.
Oh, absolutely. No, the reason I'm just double-checking is because I remember those games that you're mentioning against Glentoran and Linfield, and it's hard to believe that in a few months' time, that'll be 10 years ago.
Whoa, that's scary. It honestly feels like yesterday to me, to be honest. They were that good of memories. You're making me feel older.
No, you're not, because I was having this conversation with someone a while ago when it was at the start of the season, and I was doing all my homework on your club and your teammates and trying to get to know some of the players and all the rest of it, and I was going, Andy Hoy, my goodness, what age is Andy Hoy now? And then I realised, I went, gee, I was putting years on you myself, so this is why I'm so keen to say it on here, because you were so young when you scored goals against two massive teams, everyone all of a sudden knew who Andy Hoy was.
Yeah, I know. Like as you say, it's coming up to near 10 years ago, and like me breaking onto the scene and scoring a Irish League debut against Glentoran at the Oval, and obviously everyone's going to hear about that. And then I scored against Linfield, on this is what I remember so well. It was David Jeffrey's last ever game for Linfield, and I remember I was on the bench that day, and we had to give him a guard of honour at Mournview, and then I think we were getting beat like maybe 5-0 or 5-1, and I've come off the bench, and I know it was a consolation goal, but at 17 years old it honestly couldn't be happier, and obviously I've remembered it ever since because it was David Jeffrey's last game for Linfield.
Well, I was there that day, so that's maybe why it's so ingrained in my memory as well. Looking at things and bringing it up to the modern day, you just recently reached your 200th game with Loughall, fittingly against your old club, Glenavon. You didn't get the result in that day, and maybe in the last couple of weeks it's been a bit frustrating for you after such a good start. How are you feeling being in and amongst it?
You could say that, but... Looking at my side of things, if you had said we would have, I think, 21 points at this stage of the campaign at the start of the season, I would have laughed.
Mm-hmm.
But looking with how good of a start we had, the last few weeks has been a bit frustrating. But like it's sort of an eye opener for us as well, because every game's tough in this league, and you can't just show up and expect 3 points off a team in the bottom six. You have to show up as well, and if you don't show up, you're going to get punished for it. And unfortunately, over the past few weeks, that's what's happened. And look, we have a good tight knit group at Loughall, and no one's putting their heads down. We're going to go in the training pitch again, and we're going to work on things, and we're going to go in the game on Saturday full of confidence. Hoping if we can get back to where we were performing at the start of the year, hoping we can come away with something.
And are you looking at it as a big game, because it is one of those teams in the bottom half of the table? The previous game with Carrick Rangers ended up being an absolute thriller, with Carrick edging it in the end. Obviously you'll want to come out on the right side if you can this time, but you're the away team.
Yeah, that's a plan, Michael. But we thought we could have came away with something against Glenavon and Dungannon as well there in the previous two games, but obviously it didn't work out. But we're going to go into Saturday's game knowing it's going to be a real tough test, because Carrick are a physical side and very good at home as well, like with the way they play, and their attacking players on their day can destroy you, to be honest. Perkis, Lattis, Maculatis, Curtis Allen, all top goal scorers in the Irish League. And so we need to be have a good day on the pitch, and to be honest with you, we're going to go in it with full confidence and hoping we can get something out of it.
The fixtures just keep on coming. You know, you had the Mid Ulster Cup game, didn't go your way. I know you got on the score sheet and that against Portadown. There's a chance in a few days' time for revenge because you face them in the League Cup. It feels like every couple of days you're back out on the pitch and there's another game that matters.
That's a good thing about being a footballer, Michael. There's always another game to redeem yourself. If you've had a bad game or poor result, you can always go out the next week or a few days after and hopefully show people that it was a one-off. And hopefully that's what we're going to do then on Tuesday night here. It's a massive game for the club on Tuesday night. The opportunity to get to the semi-final of the League Cup will be huge, and it's something we all want as a team. And hopefully we can just get revenge on Tuesday night, as we thought we didn't play to our the best that we could. And hopefully we'll analyse things tonight at training, and we'll go into the game on Saturday first, but we can also after that look forward to Tuesday night's game. And again, we know it's going to be a tough game. Portadown showed on Tuesday night that they're a brilliant side, and it's not going to be a walkover on next Tuesday either. So they're stacked full of Irish League experience as well. But I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sure that there's no more motivation the lads need than to get to an Irish League semi-final. As I watched the final last year, and I think there was maybe over 10,000, maybe 11,000 at it.
Yeah.
And if we can get the semi-final, we'll have every chance to get to the final, which would be huge for the football club.
Doesn't it just show you, you know, the sort of season that you're having? And even with a few weeks in there, that look, every club will have their bad patch. You'll be hoping that this is yours and you'll be out of it quickly. But the fact that you're talking about the points tally you have, that you have the potential of, you know, the Betmaclean Cup semi-final in front of you, if you can come past the team in Portadown, who, you know, have already shown their quality and you know about them enough anyway. But it's such a great incentive for Loch Gall and the fans. I'm sure everybody's riding on a bit of a crest of a wave. And meanwhile, you guys are all just trying to keep grounded.
Yes, especially after the start we've had, everyone's expecting a lot from us now after the start we've had, and it was hard not to get carried away, to be honest, because we weren't expecting it. We were expecting it to be a lot tougher, and we weren't expecting to pick up as many points so soon. But now that we've done that, we need to just, as you say, stay grounded, Michael, and hopefully start picking up more points here in the league, just as but with a tough few weeks coming up. I think with Lorne, Coleraine, Cliftonville all coming up here, so every game's a tough game. But as you say, there's a lot of games coming up, and look, we'll go into every game and try to get as many points as we can.
Well, I hope you don't mind all the travelling, because, as you say, you know, away to Carrick, away to Portadown, that's the quarter-final, away to Coleraine in the league, you've got a home game against Cliftonville, then you're away to Larne, plenty of journeys up and down the road. Are you all on one big bus? Are you taking cars? What's the plan?
No, it's too expensive for Loch Gall to get a bus, so I think we'll all be taking cars up the road. But, yeah, a lot of tough away games coming up, and look, every single game in this league, whether you play a bottom six club or a top six club, is a big game. But the way I look at it is it's another chance to get points on the board. We've already shown this season we can draw with the Cliftonvilles, we beat Lorne at home. It's possible, it's not an impossible task. I know it is tough, but we think if we can perform to our level, we can definitely cause upsets in this league, as we've shown previously.
And talk to me about the goal score in front. You've done well. You've got yourself a few goals in the league, goals and cups as well. But you know, if we're looking at the players around you, Benji McGee's kind of leading the way in the scoring. Are you going to try and challenge him for the club's top scorer here, or are you happy to share the odd? I know you've got a certain Mr. Ferris and Mr. Boyd as well in that conversation.
To be honest with you, goal scoring's never really been a big part of my game, but I've always got chipped in with a few every season. But I did start the season well with a good few goals, but sort of dried up. But it was nice to get a goal against Poor down there during the week, and hopefully that will give me a bit more confidence in the pitch. But I don't think I'll be catching Benji McGee this season. But it doesn't even bother me who gets the goals this year. As long as we're scoring goals and winning matches, that's all that matters to me.
Have all you boys been told by the manager you're not allowed to talk up Benji at any stage of the season? No one's allowed to look at him, please. He's rubbish, if anyone wants to know.
please don't be watching Benji McGee's goals or highlights this year, anyone listening to the show. No, but honestly, I'm delighted for Benji, to be honest. He's worked hard over pre-season, and he's come out flying this year, and obviously there's going to be clubs looking at him. I think he's second top goal scorer in the league, and some of the goals he scored against in the league this year has just been unbelievable. And honestly, I hope he can keep it up, and hopefully we can hold on to him as long as we can, and I can set up a few more goals for him until the end of the season anyway.
Oh, brilliant, Andy. No, I think every Loch Awe fan will be hoping the same. I'm sure there are clubs circling some of the goals he scored. Definitely eye-catching. But great to see young players doing well in the league. Great to see Loch Awe and what they've brought to the league as well. There's been a real buzz around the club. And best of luck for, as you say, a very, very challenging but exciting few months ahead for yourselves.
Thanks very much, Michael. It was lovely to hear from you. I'll speak to you again soon.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Just like that, we are at the end of another programme. Thank you very much to Andy Hoey, Leroy Miller and James Singleton for their company, and to you for yours. Make sure you get in good and early for the competition that we're running, and well done once again to our two winners of the Football Manager 2024 game. We've been in touch with you, and that's on its way. So Alan Robinson and Conor McCann, well done once again from everybody here on The Score. And I do also want to end on a real positive note and say thank you to everybody that has been tuning in. We have been delving into some of our stats. You might have seen us share them on social media. It's that time of year when everyone gets all reflective. Your Spotify Wrapped comes out and you see what your listening habits are. It's the same for us. We find out just how many people have us as their number one podcast, or their top five, or their top 10, or whatever. And it really does go into that level of detail, and it's really, really humbling to see the volume of you that loyally listen, which is amazing, because we know we've lots of listeners. But when you realise that so many people come back week in, week out, that is actually a really nice thought, that we're all kind of here communally hanging out once a week. So thank you very much for keeping up your weekly appointment with us here on The Score. It really does mean a lot, and I can only presume you're enjoying yourself, and that makes me very happy. So thank you for listening as well. Okay, that's your lot. That's me done being mushy. Go you out into the world and enjoy yourself, or get your Christmas shopping done, whatever's more important. But for now, all that's left to be said is enjoy your weekend of sport. Bye-bye.